Welcome. I'm Halcyon, and this is Hug Nation. Today, I want to talk about what I've learned from a pandemic panic. You know, it's hard to avoid the information that is railing against us from every direction. And it is hard to know what to believe and who to trust. I have passed the stage of, hey man, whatever, into the stage of, oh fuck, what? And I have been looking at way too many people's posts about the coronavirus and way too much perspectives. And they have ranged from the logical and concerned to the whimsical and woo-woo-y. I have seen, advice that is forwarded with the kind of packaging as one would forward information as it might come from a government official or a scientific community. And yet it is wrapped in conspiracy theories and science fiction ideas and, you know, population control plans from the government and the New World Order and 5G activation of a powdered version of a virus that is done through mandatory vaccinations by the government, and to, hey, you know, just take colloidal silver and eat spicy foods and the virus can't survive in heat, so you're good. You know, I'm starting to think that maybe Facebook is not the medical resource that I thought it was. But what have I learned? I've learned that you shouldn't listen to people like me about things like this. I have learned that, here's a few things that I legitimately have learned as I've digested things. First of all, I've learned that Amazon is not a reliable backup plan. You know, as I've heard people talk about, you know, you should get backup on supplies and you should get things, you know, I'm not a person that goes to the mall often or the store often, or I am quite dependent on my delivery services. So I decided this morning, maybe I should throw on some hand sanitizer into my order of Truvia sweetener that I use to make my decaf coffee so good. Look, I'm living a watered down life right now. Decaf coffee, non-sugar sweetener. Actually, it is good. Thank you, James, who got me this awesome coffee from Phil's Decaf. Ah, thanks, Phil. Thanks, James. Hey, you got to enjoy every moment. That's the other thing I've learned. But back to Amazon. So I thought I would just throw in a thing of hand sanitizer into my order because, oh, sure, that seems like something that would be a responsible thing to do right now. No, that is not easy to do with Amazon. They seem to be out of stock of everything, and the small vendors that do have, you know, bottles of hand sanitizer and Purell are selling them for, you know, what the market will take. So next up is looking into the recipes of handmade sanitizer using aloe and alcohol and eye of newt and salamander feet and the eyelashes of a witch. Other thing I've learned is that I did not understand the biology and chemistry and philosophy behind coughing into your arm. For some reason, I thought that system was because porous surfaces did not hold on to viruses the same way that a less porous surface like a hand or a table or a doorknob. So I created a narrative that the danger was in non-porous surfaces is what you need to be careful about touching. And so as I'm coughing into my arm, Or what I've done for years is I would use my porous shirt to open the doorknob. I thought it was like, you know, ollie oxen free, like this is home free zone to the cloth. And that's just not true. I did not realize this, that fabric can hold on to bad stuff longer, I think is what I was reading. Certainly it's not a free zone. Other lessons that I've learned so far in the pandemic panic. A mask is not the answer. I'll say it one more time. I don't know. But from what I've been reading, it sounds like the benefits of a mask are if someone coughs like at you and there's vapor in the air as they're coughing at you, then yes, the mask is helpful. But really, the big benefit of wearing a mask is to keep you from infecting yourself from your hands and touching your face. So whether you have a N95 mask or whether you have a cloth mask or something, a scarf, if it keeps you from touching your face with your hands, that's the real benefit. Because as we already discussed, you use your hands to touch things like doorknobs or elevator buttons. I also heard the advice of carrying a pen around with you to hit buttons is not a bad idea. What I now need to know, since I now know that the shirt sleeve is not a free zone, what is the best tactic to opening doorknobs? Other than, you know, waiting for someone else to open the door. I think the tongue, the mouth, maybe that, I don't know, I'm learning as I go. Another thing that I learned as I've been researching is that, you know, the temperature does affect the virility or the health of the virus. And so the colder weather is better for many viruses, which is why cold and flu season isn't the winter time. See, I always thought cold and flu season is because we're cold and our immune systems are weakened. I didn't realize that it's impacted by the temperature's effect on the virus itself. Look at this, I'm learning. Big upside to all this, science, learning, wee. Don't listen to me, I don't know what I'm talking about. And I am only being silly and laughing and such because it doesn't matter in this moment. No amount of seriousness or panic is going to help the situation. I do believe that we are in a serious situation, if for no other reason than a financial one. See, I finally built up the courage and invested my savings into the stock market about 6 weeks ago. Yay! Okay. What else have I learned? Okay, I want to move on from things that I've learned to the only real way I know to survive this. And that is a tactic that I learned from Byron Katie, woman sitting in chair. As I am learning about what's going on, as I am preparing, as I am considering what is happening in the world, it is easy to, well, not only is it easy to like let your mind go, but also plenty of people out there are filling our minds with these scenarios in the future. Nothing wrong with visiting the future, visiting these possible scenarios so that you can return to the present moment and act from it. But what often happens, what I suffer from, maybe you've experienced this yourself, is that you follow these thoughts into scenarios, and then you experience the panic of it. You experience the depression of it. You experience the anxiety, the concern, the worry, and you live in that state. And yet, you're having the symptoms of a scenario that has not yet happened. I'm not saying never consider the future. I'm saying be aware of when you are living in the future and how that affects you. So the Byron Katie idea, woman is sitting in chairs, as I am getting worked up and worrying about my older parents, that they are at risk and they might die, and then what am I going to do? And I couldn't order Purell, and maybe should I be ordering more? Like, ah. Wait, what is true in this moment? Man sitting in chair talking to camera. That's all that's real. That is my reality. Now, I can return to calm, return to an awareness of what my true dangers are, and then revisit the future possibilities from a sane, calm place and make decisions from a sane, calm place. Do I want to find out a way to make my own hand sanitizer? Perhaps I do. Do I want to figure out what kind of food resources that I need to have on hand? Perhaps I do. Do I want to develop a communication plan with people I love? Perhaps I do. But as I get pulled into a future panic, what is true? Is this true? Are my parents dying? That is not true. What is true? Man sitting in chair talking to camera. And then act from that place. Man sitting in chair talking to camera. Thank you. I love you. So, I hope you have a fantastic week. It is always such a treat to share this time with you. I'm sure everything is perfect. All is well. Thank you. I love you. Carol asking the great question, what about hugs? You know, we had a Burners Without Borders meetup at my place last night. And it was the first time I'd been to a gathering where hugging was not expected. But also Carol saying, do we hug or not? It kind of hurts to get rejected. And I would say, we need to work on that. It's always acceptable for someone to say, I would not like to hug. That is not rejection. That is someone explaining their preferences. You know, we are all at different places in our path of what we are comfortable with and not comfortable with. You know, if I offer you bacon and you're a vegetarian, you say no thank you is not a rejection. If I say, would you like to have sex with me? And you say, I barely know you. That's not really a rejection. That's just getting clear on where we're at and what we're comfortable with. I don't think, oh man, you prude. You don't want to sleep with me. And I shouldn't think, oh, you germaphobe. You don't want to hug me. We all need to figure out where we stand and how we feel. And I think we need to honor one another. Is this a time when hugging makes less sense? Kinda. I've always been uncomfortable with handshakes. Handshakes to me just feels like germ transfer. And it is a much more effective germ transfer technique than a hug. I've always thought a hug and a pat on the back, that's like pretty safe. But I certainly recognize that, you know, a bow to somebody, a howdy do, maybe we'll make up something new that means, maybe we do like a boom, 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 heart, heart, heart to you, where we flap our wings in appreciation. I don't know. But that's a great question. And I think that is something that is going to play out over the next few weeks of what, I mean, people might find it rude if you come at them with your hand out to handshake. I noticed yesterday as people reached out their hands, I was like, really? We're going to do this? We're going to shake hands? And I found myself, you know, slipping away to wash my hands. Although another thing I learned was you're supposed to wash your hands for the length of the alphabet song twice, something like that. Oh man, I've never washed my hands that long. That's about how long I shower for. We are in for a time where compassion and patience is going to be critical. It is going to be a good practice for us. You know, the world is a very dangerous place. Nature is at all times trying to kill us. We always have bacteria and viruses trying to get at us, and we have these immune systems that fight it off. Always. There's always natural disasters happening. There's always this stuff happening. And we built up these societies that keep us feeling pretty safe. We have this sense of security, like we're going to live till old age. We deserve, we have the right to happiness, health, longevity, prosperity. And at some level, that is what a society is, I believe, should be guaranteeing us. But there is a level above what society can do, and that is nature. That is the laws of the universe, the danger inherent in life itself, because connected to life is death. Just as up has down and a crest has a trough, it just is. And so as we are slipping into a period where the illusion of security is fading to the reality of the dangerousness of life, I think it's going to be very interesting. I sometimes wonder, I think back at like in the olden days, in the Wild West, when you knew that your life expectancy was poor, when people all around you were dying from crazy illnesses and amputations, and you know, people would go on trips to find a new place to live, and the, you know, people in their party would die along the way. When death was just a part of life, I think in a more significant way, I think that affects the mindset of risk taking and being adventurous and, you know, going for your dreams and such. Maybe, maybe not. But I would think, you know, like we have such a comfort at our disposal that it takes a different kind of liberation to break out of the comfort that we have into freedom. Interestingly, that's something that keeps coming up in conversations about Burning Man. As the Burning Man experience grows into one of more and more comfort, where we have meal plans and communal structures and all, and showers and all these things that are way beyond just showing up in a tent and surviving, that security, that comfort that is now built into the experience, while enjoyable, it does create a distance between the liberation, you and the true freedom. As, you know, freedom is nothing but nothing left to lose, something like that. Janis Joplin, I believe. I'm going to sing it now. No, I'm not. And with a society and all of our the perks of first world problems, everything that we have to lose is also part of our anxiety and our fear. When you're out in the desert and, you know, you're panicked because the generator doesn't work. I had a great talk with JJ in my camp this weekend about how we had a bum generator this year. It would go down frequently. And while most people were very understanding that, hey, fuck, it's Burning Man, there were some people that were like, the generator's not working again. My AC's not working. And we're like, do you know where you are? Like, what? And I think there is this, you know, there's nothing wrong with building up comfort and creating a, well, even if it's an illusion, a securityness, that's a good word. You know, creating a experience that is more pleasant and comfortable. But when that becomes baseline and you don't appreciate it and you're afraid of losing it, or when you do lose it, you get to a panic state or feel like you are now suffering, you got to recalibrate. And perhaps we are culturally heading into a recalibration state. Great time to be doing a gratitude list. So, I hope you have a fantastic week.
It is always such a treat to share this time with you. I'm sure everything is perfect. All is well. Thank you. I love you.
Hey, sign up for my newsletter and I will send you free access to my two short films. One is about Burning Man and one is about my grandfather. List.hugnation.com and you get free access to both those films.